Things like going to places where there isn't wheelchair accessibility, or perhaps seeing a plaque that talks about a park that kind of whitewashes the history of that park and misrepresents the actual history of how that park was discovered, or even what it's named. Sometimes places are named by people who, there was an example of this that happened in Colorado where there was a park, the name has since been changed, but was named after a mayor who was a part of the Ku Klux Klan. Wow. So there, and then, you know, historically we think about lynchings, what sometimes happen in forests. Sometimes park rangers have outfits that can, or uniforms that can look like law enforcement. And for people who've experienced police brutality, that can be very triggering, or certain fences or signage can be really distressing for people who have been detained related to immigration. So I guess what I'm saying is there are just all sorts of microaggressions, which, like, again, can be, each thing in and of itself might not be enough to destabilize you. But like you said, Kari, living with it day in and day out is just so exhausting and depleting and can really wear you down, like those drops of acid on stone. And then there are these other, I guess, associations or cues that can exist in nature-based spaces that can also serve as, whether we call it a microaggression or a macroaggression, that can really affect our ability to feel a sense of peace and calm in nature. And so I think, again, like with grief, making space for that and honoring that and helping people have choices that feel right to them, and just acknowledging that not everyone is going to have the same positive association with certain places. So I know we're tight on time, but I hope that answered your question.
Well, thank you. It's great. Yeah, this is all so important. What a rich conversation. But I do know that we have to start wrapping up. And I know that I just wanted to give a final word to Karma and Brandy. If you have anything that you want to sort of, like, a final sort of idea or comment, I just want to pass it over to you two. We're so grateful that you're here. Karma, do you want to go first?
I didn't, but I will. I just would love to thank everyone for this. Elise, I missed your workshop, but I watched it later and made my notes. It was very impactful, very on point. I love the joining of the science with the other stuff. And today was a real privilege and a treat. Thank you so much, everyone, and good luck to everyone on integrating all this knowledge into your beautiful lives. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Karma. And Brandy, any final comments?
Yes, this has been such a treat. As soon as I heard that Melissa was going to be on the podcast, I jumped at the chance. Melissa, I loved your presentation to us at Eco Wisdom. I rewatched it again and took notes. Especially the parts where we talk about, you know, holding the negativity along with the grief, the grief and the good. And I think that's what nature does for us. Mm-hmm. I love that you teach that, because there's always that negativity bias out there where people are only seeing the negative. But it's not to say there isn't negative to see, as we all have heard, but it's being able to kind of hold that space for the good as well, and holding them both at the same time. And I know Tara Brock teaches that as well. She's one of my favorite teachers as well. But Melissa, thank you. Your teachings are amazing, and it's been so such an honor to be here today.
Thanks, Brandy. Thanks, Karma. And Melissa, thank you so much for being an Eco Wisdom guest educator. We cherish your wisdom and look forward to future conversations. Right, Charlotte?
Absolutely. Today we had a special opportunity to go deep into understanding the nervous system and the nurturing role of nature in bringing us into a healthier state of balance. In this Echo Wisdom conversation, we also explored the factors that nature guides need to know and become familiar with as they facilitate forest bathing programs. What it can look like to become dysregulated, the kinds of mindful movement and other activities that can be woven into a program to offer care to the community, to its participants. And finally, we had something that's not touched upon in many programs, examining the needs and experiences of disabled and BIPOC participants who engage in mindful nature connection programs. So many people mention the connectedness, the community. So I hope today, as you were listening, you felt the community and you felt the desire to just within yourself see what it feels like to send love to your heart. If you can see what it feels like to look at websites like this one to know where you can find an accessible wellness program. All of this information is critically important as we move ahead to build a more just society. I want to especially thank Dr. Carrie and Dr. Melissa as Eco Wisdom community and the Eco Wisdom community members, Karma and Brandy. All of you are bringing the things that we say and wish that would occur, and we bring evidence that it is happening. So we look forward to hearing and seeing you on the next Eco Wisdom Conversations. I'm Charlotte Farrell, your host, and I'm also thanking you on behalf of the Saluwa Show for letting us hear this tip of the iceberg of this mountain of information that you have that will help people. Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, here at the place to be, CJSF Radio 90.1 in Burnaby. Have I got a treat for you today? At some points in the last year, you heard from Neil Ryan, fabulous writer and adventure man, talk about his trip to the States selling his book. But now he has a new book today. He has a new book going to the publisher. But Neil Ryan, author, speaker, healer, tell our audience hello and what you're up to.
Say hello, audience. Hello, audience. I hope all is well with everybody. I had an experience recently listening to a healer who said, all there is love. All the rest is illusion that says that this is the theater that we experience our emotions. But behind that, the truth of our experience is that it's all about love and learning to love without conditions. So here I am. I am an author. I do have, as of an hour ago, I have two books. And first one is being published and edited and is coming back to the publication. It's still available on Amazon, but it's being edited recently, and it'll be back up and running very shortly. That book is called From the Other Side. It's a book of 60 poems and 3 short stories. And the short stories are about the experience of a soul first off being born. And the second one is called the first one is called From the Other Side. And then it's about a soul about to be born and discussing what the experience is of being embodied And the second story is called The Trial. And it's about a soul who doesn't want to be born into a child in a dysfunctional alcoholic home. And Lord Solomon takes it on as a request from the soul to have an abortion. So it's in the topic of abortion and how Lord Solomon handles the situation. And the fourth one is about an old man, and that old man could be me, but it's just a story about the old man returning, and it's called To the Other Side, and he dies and goes back and says, what in blazes was that all about? And the poems, I like to think the poem, every one of them is a spiritual poem. And I'm halfway to my 85th birthday, and I still see life as an adventure. Not last October, but the October before, I bought a beat-up old motorhome. Bless it. It runs like a clock. It's just so, it's a very, very old, not unlike myself, it's a very old motorhome. And I took off and went south for the winter, selling my book out of my motorhome. I met Charlotte in Los Angeles when I was there. And then I took off and went over to Palm Springs and spent about a month there, and then went to Arizona and spent over a month, 6 weeks in Arizona, just traveling around, selling my book, having experiences, meeting people, just full of life. And I came back last April, and last October moved to Nanaimo here on Vancouver Island, which was another adventure.
Well, hold on a minute, because my head is spinning with the map. Now, a lot of people first of all, Neil has shared many of his poetic work around Vancouver. He's taken part in a lot of readings. He's encouraged other people to get on to chat sessions, get on to readings that people have, and introduce new authors. He's not selfish in hoarding his work. But a lot of people we talk to say, oh, I'm too old. How old are you? Oh, I'm 50. I should have wrote a book. Tell people again, what was your age at your last birthday?
I was 84 in February.
Okay. And Neil had been, and how many books had you published before from the other side?
Well, I only have two books that are in, actually both of them are in the process right at this moment of being transferred to a new publisher. So original book of poetry and short stories is called From the Other Side. And it began when I was 75, that I was sitting on the beach in Brighton, England, and a woman came down and sat down beside me, and we chatted for an hour. And she asked me what I was doing, and I said, well, I'm retired. She said, you can't do that. You got to do something. And she suggested that I write a book. So I started writing a book. And 2 years ago, actually 2 years ago, it was the second edition. And I wrote a book about my experience in Brighton. I wrote a couple poems. Anyway, I wound up writing a book that's just gone to the publisher yesterday, and the contract got signed today, and that is that it's called The Brighton Tarot Card Mystery. And it's a 17,000 word short story. It's actually a novella, and then there's also 9 short stories with it, and one of them explores the experience of dying, and some of them are really kind of cute, you know. One of the stories is called what the hell's the name of that one? Here's the name. There it is. There, it's called Jane of the Car. How could I forget Jane of the Car? A delightful little story about a woman talking to herself while she's at a drive-in movie, but the woman that she's talking to is herself, and is on a 40-foot high screen. It's on the video screen, and she's talking to herself. She's admonishing herself. It's a rather interesting idea of being able to look at oneself totally honestly, and that's not an easy thing to do. So I just say, hey, life's an adventure. I think that I started when I was in high school. And that is that I think it was our science teacher, Miss McDonald. She was quoting the Greek philosopher, Plato's teacher, and his name was Socrates. Socrates said, an unexamined life is a wasted life. And so I spent the next, in fact, I'm still exploring ideas about self. I began to look at who am I, and what's the meaning of this experience that we call life? And I'm still exploring ideas of quantum physics and how our question to look for who am I is the all-important question. Who am I? How is it that I am here? And I can reflect on not only my behavior, but the emotions that drive me, the feelings of what is there in life that is of value. And I don't find it in external things. Being anybody is, I've resisted that idea that I am a businessman. I was a businessman. I was a pretend businessman for at least 50, 60 years. But I never really believed that that's who I am. I am more than that. I am more than a father, more than a poet, more than I do paintings, but I'm not a painter. I write poetry, but I'm not a poet. And I'd love to share some of my poetry with you when you're ready, Charlotte. Let me know. You've gone silent.
Yes, yeah. There was a piece of equipment, you know, they're building all over Vancouver, and there's a loud piece of something drilling next door. Yes, we definitely would like to hear one of your poems, and I like the fact, one of the encouragements that you have to people is that you never quit. You had an experience with that publisher who told you they were going to publish the book, they were going to put it in stores, they didn't do it, and What did you do? You got up and went across the country with a case of books selling your own books.
Yeah. I'm walking along the seawall in San Francisco, and I said to a couple sitting on the bench, I said, "I bet you like poetry." And he said, "You better not bet that, because I'm not." I said, "Let me go get one of my books and I'll read you a poetry." And be darned if he didn't buy the book.
Right.
And I did that several times. And here's a magical story about how, and it was a magical trip. It really was. I was in Page, Arizona, parked beside the Colorado River. And a woman came by walking her dog. And I said, "Do me a favor, take a picture of me in my motorhome, standing beside the..." So I stood in the front of the motorhome and she took a picture of me. And beyond that was the Colorado River. And so there I am in the Colorado River, in Page, Arizona. And she says, "What are you doing here?" And I said, "Well, basically, I'm here to sell my book." And she said, "Do you have any with you?" I said, "Yes, I do." So I went and I got it. I went in the motorhome, got one out. And she said, "How much?" I said, $20, and it's yours, and I'll sign it." And so she went to get the $20, and I opened the book and realized, I don't want to just hand her the book and take her money. So there's a poem in my book. It's one of my favorite poems, and it's called Siddhartha by the River. So she came back from getting her money when her... And I opened the book to the poem, and I said, "I am Siddhartha by the river, surrounded by beauty, living quiet in peace, contemplating the many gifts of the universe." So here I am beside the Colorado River, reading to her my poem, Siddhartha. I had already signed it with her name, and I handed it to her, and I could have cried. I was so filled with emotion from taking a picture of me reading my poem to a stranger, absolute stranger, standing beside the Colorado River.
Maybe you can tell us how to get that book. How do you buy it online?
It's on Amazon. Just go to From the Other Side. There's a website called fromtheotherside.ca. My book is not available there, but Amazon, if you ask for the book called From the Other Side by Neal, N-E-A-L-L, Ryan, R-Y-O-N, and that, using my name, connects me to the copy of the book. And I have a short story, poem to read in there, and I think it's time. It's called In the Stillness. In the stillness, in the darkness, in the moments before your lover's morning kiss arrives to remind you of who they want you to be. In the stillness, in the darkness, a still, quiet voice can be heard whispering to you the truth of your being. In the stillness, in the darkness, there is a truth beyond the wound, beyond the tears. There is a love and a compassion seeking to tell you who you really are. In the darkness, in the stillness, in the darkness, you can connect to the oneness of your soul that insists You are all that is. You are the love that created the universe. I like the gentleness of that poem.
And even the truth that you express, you are the gentleness that explored, that birthed the world. That is so beautiful. Gentleness. Well, we have got a lot of more information that we want to get from Neil. We're going to make it into a second broadcast because here in Vancouver, there is a lot of, I mean, where you wouldn't expect there to be construction. Seems like everybody with a house is building a back house. There are all kinds of crews with all kinds of equipment. And so rather than compete with that equipment, we're going to end this now and bring you back Neil at another time, often because he loves to share his work. The new book
it will be available from Primix. It's a publishing company, and the title of the book, it should be probably 2 or 3, maybe 4 weeks before it's ready. But it's called The Brighton Tarot Card Mystery. And it has one large short, well, it's a novel, but a short novel. And it's a delightful romp. Let me read this. There's a delightful little romp through the streets of Brighton, England, chasing the young truth, the young thief who stole an mysterious deck of tarot cards that knew the past and predicted the future. So there's that story, and there's 9 others. And I think there's some interesting stories among the and the other ones were all entries to a to a short story contest. I didn't win any of them, but some of them I think are really quite good. There's one story for Halloween that's quite exciting.
That's a good encouragement to you, to people who read about entering contests. You have won a prize, but the ones that you have won or gotten a mention for, you've done them many other times, sharing with seniors, sharing at Culture Days. It's carried him really far. So be encouraged of looking at some of the contests, like the one that's held by Writers Weekly twice a year. And yeah, just get the...
That's
get that
where
experience.
I enter. Yeah.
Neil has said you have to be a little bit thick-skinned, but because he entered, he had a body of work to use and enter for other things. He had a body of work to put in his book. So we will just thank you, body of words and encouragement, Neil Ryan, Vancouver-based poet, traveler, inspirer, and healer. And we will be having him on again soon so that we can find out what is happening with that tarot card. This is Charlotte Farrell, host of the Speak Up, Listen Up, Act Upon show, Saluwa, where my guest and I speak up so that you can listen up and take advantage, make use of what you've heard. Love time, poem time. From heaven to shine. Love time, poem time. Time for words to pattern and rhyme. Love time, poem time. Time for words to wash the wounds, bind the lashes and play bassoon. Love time, poem time. Time for poems, poets and singers. To untie all life's ringers. Poem time, love time. Time for you to reveal to me. Unravel all your mystery. Time for joy and utter grace.
rest from toiling in this place. Play some poems.
Broadcasting on the internet and at 90.1 FM from high atop Burnaby Mountain, you're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM.